This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
Hey, y'all, it's Brittany.
And Eric.
And we are off for the holidays, but we have a little gift for you today. An exploration of mine and Eric's greatest failures.
That's right. A few weeks ago, Brittany and I were guests on the Upgrade Podcast's first ever live show at the Bell House in Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
The Upgrade is a show made by the people over at Lifehacker, and it offers all kinds of practical advice on how to upgrade your life with topics like how to be happier, how to become financially independent, or how to pursue a side hustle.
Yes, and when we joined the Upgrade on stage, the theme for the evening was how to fail. And we had such a great time that night. We played a work-themed Never Have I Ever drinking game. We gave advice to audience members about how to solve problems in their own lives. And we got to share the stage with some really fun people. And because we love to share things with all of you, we wanted to play a little bit of that show here today.
Yes. So in this excerpt, you will hear Lifehacker Editor-in-Chief Melissa Kirsch. She's one of the hosts of the show, as well as comedian Chris Gethard. But the first voice you will hear is the other host of the Upgrade, Lifehacker Deputy Editor Alice Bradley.
So Brittany?
Yes.
What do you think Eric's greatest failure has been?
Oh, that's a really good question.
That you would love to answer, actually.
Oh my gosh. Actually, you know, I don't know if I necessarily can think of your greatest failure, if I'm honest with you. No, I will tell you what. One time we were roommates. I'm sorry, I'm telling this story.
Okay.
And this is actually very generous on Eric's part. I was living in Michigan for a while with my parents, and I wanted to move back to New York. And Eric called me, and he was like, I heard you have a boyfriend and you don't have a job. So do you want to come live with me? I was like, sure, actually, that's nice. So I stayed with him and our other friend, Jason, and I was on their futon in the living room. And at night, I would hear, like, little feet. I was like,
Eric's little feet?
Yeah, no.
Is he little tiny feet?
They had very strange neighbors that were upstairs.
Oh, okay.
And they were doing, I don't know what they were doing, but they had some little friends, some little pest friends. So I heard little feet, and I was like, Eric, I was like, there are mice in this house. And he was like, no. They were both like, no. It's just in your brain. Like, you don't know what mice sound like. I'm like, there's mice in this house. And then eventually the problem escalated and they ignored it. And then there was one morning where a mouse came out the refrigerator and we all hopped up on the furniture and I was crying. And that, I would say, is Eric's biggest failure. He did not believe me the first time.
Yeah, it was a month-long campaign, actually, to get rid of those mice. It was intense.
Did you succeed?
Yeah.
Eventually. We, like, whittled it down. It was actually really kind of sad, too, because we would be sitting, like, in the room, and I know you're not really supposed to use these traps, but all of a sudden we'd be talking, and you hear just, like,
oh.
And everybody's like, and then you're like, oh.
Yeah.
You're like, yeah. We got another one.
Oh.
And
yeah.
It's like, you got to figure out how to deal with it. It was a lot. It was like stressful for everyone. For me, I imagine it was stressful for them, you know.
Not for long.
Yeah. But yeah, it was a lot. You know, we live in an urban environment.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
yeah.
It's sometimes,
it is what it is.
Yeah, you have friends.
Yeah. But then once the people got evicted, then the situation changed.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
No more mice.
No more mice. Things got better. Yeah, yeah. It was a great apartment, actually.
Just
a word on mouse traps. They're cruel and horrible, but at least they're quick and they work. You know? So that there's not...
Yeah.
So they are sort of the perfect life hack if you're a murderer.
Well, yeah. As I now am.
Yeah,
I mean,
If it's me or mice, I'm gonna choose me.
After the refrigerator, though, it was like, oh, that's
inside a refrigerator.
Well, because the thing is that like they're smaller than they look. They can fit in very small spaces.
That's the thickness of a dime.
Can they squeeze in?
Literally. They can. And so that's the thing. The refrigerator was like, you know, slightly ajar. To a human, nothing. To a mouse, lifetime opportunity.
Everything.
Yeah.
You living with any rodents? Wow.
What's that?
You living with any rodents?
No, not currently.
Okay, good.
I should state for the record, neither one of us are living with mice currently.
This was a long time ago.
This was like 6 or 7 years ago.
Yeah.
One thing that I love knowing about mice is that they truly are almost blind, and so that they always go along the floorboards. So like they're always on the outside, unless they're in the fridge, you know, because it's so bright and they can see everything in there. But they also are most active around sunset, which I find like kind of endearing.
They're
like
romantic.
They just sort of like come alive after 5.
I love that you have all these mouse facts.
Oh, I
do you have more mouse facts?
No, that's about it. Right. Although the thickness of a dime just still gets me, like because they can flatten their bones out.
I could have used all this back then.
Yeah.
All right, Eric, it's your turn. What's Brittany's biggest failure?
What is Brittany's biggest failure?
I'm so curious to
know. In your estimation.
Let's see. I might not be as generous as you, but
what's new?
I think,
don't fight.
Let's see. Fight. I would say the motorcycle dealership.
Oh my god. I used to work at a motorcycle dealership.
And it was like a job. It was a job you didn't particularly like. You know, sometimes you take jobs because you're like, this is I'm building a career. And sometimes you take jobs, you're like, I need a job. And so Brittany took this job. She was working there and she was like, it kind of get on my nerves. And then she hated it for a long time. And then didn't they let you go?
They fired me.
They fired you.
They actually said when they were firing me, they were like, you were probably the smartest person that works here. But you cannot do this job. And then they let me go. Actually, no. First they started bringing in somebody else under my exact same job title without telling me. And they were like, just come in like 3 days a week. And then one day I came in to get like a paycheck or something. And there was this other girl. I was like, who is this? Yeah, no. So they knew. But yeah, no.
Did that feel like a real failure to you? Because it seems like, forgive me, but like they're telling you you're really smart. You're too smart for the motorcycle dealership.
They were saying that to be nice.
I mean, I don't think they were saying it to be nice. I mean, I work with you all the time and there are other things that I don't like about you, but your intelligence is like, it's not one of them. So yes, I think they were actually telling the truth, but you weren't that committed to it, but you were
really
bad.
What were you doing
bummed.
At the motorcycle dealership?
I was the marketing
selling?
Manager.
Okay. So you weren't selling
so
the
primarily,
hogs.
You weren't on the
no.
floor.
No. The thing that I will say was nice about it, I was in this room with no windows and I mostly just like I had this coworker named Joanne. She still works there to this day. She's a super sweet lady. If you're ever at the Harley Davidson on Northern Boulevard in Queens, call Joanne. Brittany sent you. She'll know who it was. She was like this 72.
I live right near there.
You do? Oh my god. No. There's a really good empanada mama. There's a great empanada place.
Oh, you don't have to tell me about the empanada mama on set on Northern Boulevard. The one on Northern.
Yeah.
It's up on like 81st Street or something like that. Like, look at that.
That's
real connection.
The real connection.
24
yeah,
hours.
It was, yeah, no, if you look, go see Joanne. She was awesome, but she was like maybe 70. I think she's probably in her early 70s when I was working with her, and that wasn't my best friend. It was her, and then Rosalie would come in 2 days a week and do the books, and the three of us were back there. So Rosalie was like this older Italian lady, and like Joanne was like this old lady. I think she always said her family was from the old country, which I think was Hungary, and she was from the Lower East Side. And that was like, those are my homegirls. So like, I mostly talked to them. I don't remember doing a lot of work.
So the scene is you have a boyfriend, you're living in a rodent infested home with Eric, and
infested
you're working at the-
Infested is strong.
Wait, did you say-
Infested is strong.
Wait, did you say you have a boyfriend?
He said you have a boyfriend in her
I
job,
I did
right?
have a boyfriend, that's right, yeah. I forgot.
Yeah.
She used to just talk
I was giving
all the
you
time.
That much.
I used to talk on the phone. Eric didn't know. Before we had lived together, we didn't know. I didn't know that he even watched sports because it doesn't come up with me. So I would get up in the morning and he and Jason would just be like ironing stuff and watching. Is it some guy's name Mike and Mike or
Mike
something?
Mike and Mike. Well, that's not on anymore.
I don't know who the hell that is. It was on all morning. It drove me insane. And they didn't know that I talked on the phone to my boyfriend 24/7.
She had an actual
it was
attachment.
A phone.
It was a phone attachment.
You plug into your iPhone.
Oh yeah, yeah.
And
an old fashioned one.
I would take it to the bodega. Like I would just go for walks in the neighborhood with my little phone attachment.
It was all the time. It was all the time.
That was actually a high point though. Before then, it was like the 20s. My whole 20s. I just turned 31. My whole 20s. Eric actually will say.
It was dicey. We got there though.
Yeah.
You know. We did it.
Yeah, but look where it brought you.
Exactly.
So was it a failure, truly? Did you fail?
At the time,
Yeah.
Yes. Yes. Yes.
Let's play a game.
Yeah.
Okay. You guys know about our life hacker, never have I ever? Have you come up with one yet, Chris? If not, we can spot you.
Oh, yeah. No, I got one.
Oh, you got one? Yeah. All right, let's do it.
Never have I ever stolen toilet paper from work. Does that count as a life hack?
Oh, yeah, totally.
Great way to scam some free TP if you need it.
Really? You too?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, are we talking about the giant Scott roll that, like, you have to open the thing on the stall and go, like, yeah, that's a big bag.
But the thing is, like, work toilet paper is not really, good. Like,
yeah, but that's a big roll. Did you steal a big roll?
Yeah, you can steal a big roll. You can steal a small roll. But, I mean, look, any paper can be toilet paper. Any paper can turn into toilet paper if you try hard enough.
That's a life hack. That is a...
Okay?
Yes.
Wait, but how did you get it out? Did you put it in...
In a backpack.
Did you wear big coats?
In a backpack.
Was it really the big roll?
I have stolen the big roll, yeah.
No, people do. I used to have roommates, terrible people. They, instead of buying toilet paper, I'd be like, hey, we need toilet paper. And they would show up with the big roll.
Yeah.
From work.
You got to snag some toilet paper. You got to stick it to the man every once in a while.
Yeah.
That's a rough situation, though. It's rough.
That depends on the grade, the quality of the paper.
Where did you steal it from? Where were you working?
I'd rather not say. It may or may not have been a popular Manhattan improv theater where I was feeling a little bitterness over my floundering career. They're like, well, you can go get a writing job at SNL, but I'm going to scam $8 worth of low-grade toilet paper.
But I bet you still have some left. I mean, those are big rolls.
Oh, no, I fly through that stuff.
Yeah. Wait, $8? That's like 6 rolls.
No, it's one of those big sandpaper rolls.
The big roll.
The massive.
That's $8?
Like, giant. It looks like a steering wheel for a
bus. It's supposed to go inside like a dispenser. But I didn't steal the dispensers.
Chris, it's not $8. I'm telling you right now.
Oh, is it more than that?
I know it's not $8.
No, I was thinking just because
it's like $2.25.
Wholesale price.
Oh, you're saying it's less than that.
I'm saying it's
selling it for retail.
Oh, wow.
Well, if you were to buy it retail, it probably would go for $8. Is that what you're saying?
I really want to go to the store that sells that retail.
We're gonna do some research on that and write it up as a life hacker story.
Please share that with me.
Totally. I believe in stealing things from cruel employers. Mm-hmm. Like that is...
I wouldn't say that they were cruel so much as I was young and poor and kind of an asshole.
When I was young and poor and kind of an asshole, I worked somewhere that had free tampons in the ladies' room. Uh-huh. And every time I went to the bathroom, whether or not I needed them, I would take a tampon and put it in my bag. And then when I knew I was quitting, every time I went to the bathroom, I would empty the basket into my bag. And... For like a good 3 years, I didn't buy tampons. And I still feel great about it and wish I had started taking the whole basket like the day I started there.
Now, did you remember when you finally ran out of those free work tampons?
Oh, yeah.
Were you like, this is the end of an era, my friend?
Yes. Totally. Yeah, it was rough. And then I had to face up to the fact that tampons are really expensive. They're much more than $8 a box in New York. Yeah, no, they're ridiculously expensive. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel terrible that I didn't take more.
Yeah. I've been known to eat the Tums in our bathroom even when I don't need
Y'all
it.
Y'all have Tums in your bathroom?
It's like a delicious treat.
Drink for that. Drink. That's a never have I ever...
What? There was toilet paper. All right, I'll drink.
Yeah.
Shame drinking.
As a delicious treat.
Okay, look. Sometimes you're desperate and the snack drawer's empty and there's some Tums. They're fruit flavored.
How late do you work?
Yeah,
no, I'm
with
you on
that. This
isn't
a bathroom where people have been known to use the dental floss wands and put them back
in. I will not.
Ooh.
Yeah, no,
oh,
I know.
Really?
We shouldn't out this on the podcast.
No, but the person who turned me on to this, I think, is in this room tonight.
True.
And thank you. And not a day has gone by that I don't go into that bathroom, see those floss wands, and think, those are used.
That's why I take them and just throw them in the trash.
Good.
No one should use those.
Tums is not my preferred candy medicine of choice.
Yeah.
What is?
Zicam. You ever have Zicam? Zicam is delicious.
Oh, I just took it today. Oh,
it's so good. It's
the
so
good.
Just raving.
What's that?
The nasal spray?
No, the melt-away chalky lozenge version.
Yeah, they almost taste like Smarties. They're very good.
Yeah, really? They melt in your mouth.
A bottle of Zicam today.
Today, literally. Today. The orange cream is
the
really
orange
good.
Cream.
The orange cream is great.
The orange cream is one of the... Orange cream Zicam. Every kid should just eat that constantly.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's my advice.
You have to first.
Like, hey kids, eat medicine.
How How does it compare to like a chewable baby aspirin? Because I love a chewable baby aspirin.
Oh, that is so delicious. That is
I've
a meal,
never had
right?
One.
Yeah, a little less. I would say it goes down a little smoother than a chewable baby aspirin.
No, they call them meltables.
It just meltables
they dissolve
goes away. The baby aspirin tastes like candy, but it does the intensity of medicine.
Yeah.
Zicam tastes like candy.
It's excellent. Interesting. And you shorten your cold by 1 to 2 days.
Seriously.
You do.
There's so much more to this episode. So if you want to hear the rest of it, be sure to check out the Upgrade podcast.